Good morning. Obviously, I'm not Brian because he's on assignment, as they would say for Dave Fleming with the San Francisco Giants. But nope, he's got a doctor's appointment. He will be in as soon as possible. So I guess I'm going to be hosting Talk Shop for at least the first segment of today's show. So will our mystery guest enter and sign in, please?
Yes, happy to be here. Fred Van Vleck, Superintendent, Eureka City Schools. Good morning, everyone.
And have you had a chance to go to the fair yesterday? Because it was opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. So fair's a busy time for us. It's hard to be opening school and having the fair at the same time. We have lots of students down there from Eureka City Schools, both showing 4-H and FFA, my children included. And so yesterday was a big day. I got to watch the goat show and also the hog show. And then coming up today is the lamb show. But in bigger news for us is opening week of school. Coming up on Monday, we've got...
That's right. It's been a while since I've been in school. It's like, yeah, they do tend to reopen about this time, don't they?
They do. We actually have our first day of school on Monday, and teachers came back yesterday, so I was happy to host the back-to-school kickoff welcome for all of our teachers and classified staff. We had about 460 employees in the district, and most of them were there yesterday for our kickoff, and we were actually hosting it outside in light of COVID. And so we hosted it in the center of the Winship Circle and gave an overview of what school's going to look like this year. And that's actually interesting for a lot of folks that are out there.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah. Especially like, there are a few school districts, like I think in the Midwest and East of the U.S. that with the mask mandates and all that, people are having to be incorporated as part of the dress code to get around that. Is that expected to be like an issue?
Well, absolutely. Mask mandate is here in California. So as a school district, what we follow is the guidelines of the California Department of Public Health. And as we follow those guidelines, they've actually changed the rules around for this year.
Has it been that big of a change or a noticeable change?
It has. And where the notable change is the flexibility of how we operate school. Last year, we did a lot of distance learning and hybrid learning, and we actually had the flexibility as a school district to determine how long our school days were going to be and whether we were offering in-person or distance learning. And this year, that has gone away. That actually expired on June 30th, and so we don't have the option to offer a modified school day any longer, so it has to be a full school day. And we also don't have the option of offering distance learning. The only way if a student or a parent doesn't want their child to be in school is for them to go over to independent study. And that was something that our state legislators figured out when they did AB 130. And they provided a bunch of new laws to go along with independent study for those folks that want to go on independent study. The interesting thing about that, though, is here in Humboldt County and specifically Eureka City Schools, we haven't had that many students that are that interested in the independent study program.
They all want to come back to the actual school itself?
That's correct. They want that in-person instruction. And so in Eureka City Schools, we have approximately 3,600 students. And as of right now, we have about 70 students who have requested the independent study program. So in-person instruction, moving more back to normal, is the overwhelmingly popular choice right now for our students, which I applaud our families for doing that. I realize there's concern out there about COVID and keeping students safe, and we're taking those safety measures in place that the California Department of Public Health has put forth for us and doing the best we can to keep children safe. But there is just no substitute for in-person learning.
And I think it's similar to like what was happening last year. Like, yeah, it's easier like on a wide span. Like, yeah, getting everyone to do like at home, it's like a little easier, so there's not to the worry of people catching it. But also, it's Brian, our host, has said the countless times, it's that interaction, like being in the same room. Hey, I recognize you. Hey, how's it been? It's been a while. It's like you just can't replicate that elsewhere.
That's right. So if you think back how long it's been since we've been at quote unquote regular instruction, it's been 18 months. And so it's been more
Has it only been 18 months? It feels like it's been a lot longer.
It's been 18 months. And what I'll say is it's been more than just a learning loss that's happened during that time. It's also been a high impact on social emotional health. And one of the real sad things of the impact of that social emotional health is if you take a look back here as of late, our attempted suicide rate in our children that attend Eureka City Schools is at its highest level I've ever seen. And that's very concerning for me. And so we're taking many measures, such as opening a wellness center. We've hired a crisis counselor. We've hired a social worker. We're hiring counseling techs to free up more time of our counseling staff across the district so we can really address some of those social emotional needs of our students and also really work on renormalizing what it's like to have in-person instruction, because so many students have just normalized being off campus. And if you think about that, many of our students coming to Eureka High School who are into their junior year have barely even stepped foot on that campus. In our middle schools, there's some students who have never stepped foot on that campus. And so it's going to be a renormalization process for students figuring out how to be back at in-person instruction.
Also, I can imagine like the very, very little ones that started like their very, very first year was done, you know, virtually. And then, yeah, coming to school for the first time, like, what is this place? Like, I do not recognize it.
Yep. They say, boy, this looks different than what it looks like over the computer. And
yeah,
we do have a lot of students that will be coming in. And actually, it's interesting because we had a lot of parents who have kindergarten students who chose to hold their students home. And so they're coming in for kindergarten this year because kindergarten wasn't mandatory. It's not a mandatory grade for students to attend. And
it,
so
it isn't?
Nope. It's not. It's not. It's actually not mandatory until you get to first grade. Now, of course, it's highly recommended, and almost all parents send their students to school in kindergarten. But the issue becomes if you don't go to school in kindergarten, you lack that foundational skills to move on into first grade. And so it creates some challenges.
I guess, yeah, that does kind of make sense. We will be right back. It's 8:19, and we will see if Brian has arrived at the studio right after this.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning. It is currently 8:24, and since you can hear my voice, Brian is still at his doctor's appointment. We're hoping that he arrives sometime this morning, because I'll do my best, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to do a whole show by myself. If you're just joining us, Fred Van Vleck from Eureka City Schools is our guest today.
Well, lucky for you, Winston, you won't have to do the show by yourself, because well, I'm right here. I'll help you out.
Much appreciated. So I know, yeah, with the school season starting this coming Monday, you said?
Correct. The 23rd is the first day of school.
So I know this year is more than likely going to be different from what last year's school year was like, since we were still in the middle of COVID and all that, and vaccines were still a good deal of time away from us. Is there going to be much of a difference?
There's going to be a tremendous difference because, as I alluded to earlier, CDPH, California Department of Public Health, has changed the rules in regards to schools. And then also the governor's come out with an executive order. And so I'm going to hit on those two things. And the first one I'll hit on is the governor's executive order. He came out with an order that all school staff, and that's everybody that works for a school district, regardless of whether or not you're at a school site or not. So, for instance, maintenance workers, teachers, classified aides, custodians, everybody is mandated to be vaccinated or tested weekly.
And I heard something similar to that with like the teachers that homeschool also. Like you have to be vaccinated or you have to undergo that. Do you expect much of like a blowback from like some of the teachers or faculty?
We're actually not expecting too much of pushback from them because although we haven't tracked it up to this point, we're going to start tracking it now for obvious reasons. We believe that we're hitting somewhere at about the 90% vaccination rate from our staff.
Okay.
There's been an incredible interest from our staff to get vaccinated, and they really stepped up to the plate and did get vaccinated. And some of that 10%, they've got their own reasons. Vaccination is a very personal choice, and we support that personal choice. And so what we'll do is the antigen testing for those staff members who chose not to get vaccinated. And that's a
quick test.
Is that
the one that's the weekly?
It's a saliva test, and you get results back within about 15 minutes opposed to I believe the other one is called the PCR test. And that's the test that they do down at the Warfinger here locally that takes a little bit more time to get back. And so
that's not the one that's like at Redwood Acres that went in, got a like swab either up the nose or in the mouth, and it took like a week or two.
Yep,
that's the one. Okay.
That's the PCR. That's the one that's now, they moved it from the Redwood Acres Fairgrounds over to the Warfinger. And so what happens in an antigen test is they do a swab, much like that. It has rapid results. It's considered a rapid test. We get the results within 15 minutes. And then if that becomes a positive, they have to go out and do the PCR test to just determine whether or not the antigen test was accurate. And so we've been testing with the antigen test student athletes for quite a while now, and we found it to be pretty accurate. Every test that we've had a positive on the antigen test has turned out to be a positive on the PCR test as well. And so that's something that we're working on with our staff members. But what's interesting with students, obviously we're encouraging those students who are 12 years and older to get vaccinated, because if you're vaccinated and a positive case comes into the classroom, you do not have to quarantine. And so there's an obvious advantage to an educational purpose of being vaccinated, because you wouldn't have to quarantine if a student comes to class with a positive case.
Okay. That kind of raises two questions. Like first, they have to show like the term is a vaccine passport or whatever, is showing that yes, I'm vaccinated, the students?
That's correct. If they are vaccinated and they don't want to quarantine, public health requires us to verify their vaccination status. And so it's done that way. Most students are hooked up through their pediatrician as well, because there's a state basically database of students who have been, everyone who's been vaccinated. And so what happens is that shows up on their vaccination records with their pediatrician as well, generally, because there's that cross-referencing that happens out there.
Okay. And then like the second one, like you say they don't need to quarantine, like what do they do instead? What will they be doing instead?
Yeah, so for instance, if a student shows up, and one thing that I'm happy to report, we had summer school last summer. We had hundreds of students on our campuses, and we had no positive cases of COVID. And that summer school just ended last week with some of our elementary sessions. And again, even with the increased rate of COVID here in the county, it did not cross over into the schools. We anticipate it will be coming into schools. We've seen some positive cases amongst our athletes who have been practicing right now. And so we know it's out there. We know it's going to come. And so one of the things we have to have planned is how we're going to respond to a positive case that comes inside of a classroom. So as I alluded to earlier with the vaccinated students, they're not going to have to do anything. They just have to self-monitor symptoms, and if they get symptoms, then they would have to quarantine if they become infected with COVID. Now, a student who's inside of a classroom who's not vaccinated or maybe under the age of 12 who can't be vaccinated, and a student comes into those classrooms with a positive case, what public health says is everybody needs to be masked. Social distancing is no longer an issue. And so if everyone in the classroom is masked and a student turns up positive, they do what's called a quarantine in place for school purposes. And what that means is the student who tested positive will have to go home on quarantine. The other students inside of the classroom that were within a 6-foot area of the student who tested positive will have to do what's called a self-monitoring or a quarantine in place. And those students will actually continue to come to school, and we will have to test them 2 times per week, and they will continue their education, though.
All right. I got a message saying that we might have Brian in the studio during segment number 3. We'll find out when we come back. It is 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning. Brian just stepped through the door, so we will be handing the show back over to him and Fred Van Vleck. But before we do that, since you are now here, Fred will ask our, why do we say that?
You guys were going to start?
We were waiting until you came by.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why not do the highlight of the show first instead of in the middle?
It's just not the same without the host here.
Well, you know, I tried to convince Winston to let you know that there's no need for you to even show up. He's got this covered. And he said something along the lines of, if I tell him that, then the show's mine.
Yeah.
All right. So you ever wonder why you blink your eyes?
To hydrate it.
So you blink your eyes to keep them clean. Each time an eyelid moves over the surface of the eye, it spreads a layer of water that clears the surface of small debris.
Debris.
Thank you. Well, that's, you know what?
Is that a partial?
I'll give you partial on that. I learned something new. Everyone's going to go, duh, to this one. I had to look it up. I got an email sent to me yesterday, and I had to think about this. And the person on there said to err in the side of caution. How do you spell err as a verb?
E-R-R.
Yeah, and I had to think about that for a while.
Would you go A-I-R?
No. I know how to spell error, as in I made an error.
So E-R-R-O-R. I would think,
correct. Okay. So that's a noun,
right?
Obviously. And so the verb is E-R-R. And so, you know, I definitely do not have my doctorate in English. So,
yeah. And your primary language of communication?
Redneck.
That explains it. See,
yes. I won't bring into account where I attended school.
Oh, I think we've kind of beaten that horse to death. Huh?
It is in Humboldt County.
Yeah, well,
and it's not my school district now.
True. I mean, do we want?
No.
Do we want to say anything about stripes?
No. Let's not air any bad laundry out there or anything like that.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sure you're reminded of that on a fairly regular basis.
At
least by that guy that went to the school with the dog on it.
Yeah, sure.
No? Really? Ziegler doesn't jump about that?
Nope.
Oh, apparently you're avoiding him.
He just wants to paint everything blue, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting ready to build a new gym, and he says, why aren't we painting blue?
Yeah, two-tone blue with a little white accent, yeah. Oh, gee. Heard a tad coming in about some of the stuff you guys are doing, anticipating doing if there's a positive test. I don't know. Did you share where I was?
I said you were on assignment at a doctor's appointment.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit about what is being anticipated. You know, right now I think the hospitals are running pretty much at capacity. And one of the thoughts that was given was, okay, once it starts moving into the younger population, the elementary school, junior high school kids, there'll be a sudden awakening of a lot of folks who may not have the strong feeling at this point. Have you guys, I'm sure you've got a plan in place, you know, when that happens. Do you have any timelines or expectations or projected numbers?
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen all over the place. Here's the irony of where we're at right now. Is we closed down schools in March of, and this just seems crazy to me, 2020. Here we are 18 months later looking at our case count, which has far surpassed anywhere we are at from March of 2020 all the way through the end of last school year. Yet a good portion of that school year was spent with either distance instruction or hybrid instruction, meaning there's some distance and some in person. All of it was spent at a most on a modified school day where we were doing 240 minutes of instruction. That was the minimum that was required by the state. And so as you think of all that and then think about where we're at with the case count right now and going back to school, it makes you pause for a second and say, why are we going back to school right now? Well, the bottom line of that is kids need to be in school.
The trade-off.
Yes. And so we've got to get going, and we've got to get students back in learning, not just for their learning account, but also for their social-emotional health. So there is going to be positive cases in schools. And what's going to be interesting is how much spread we have in schools. Because I can say up to this point in Eureka City Schools, we have yet to have a secondary case in school. And that's going to be our challenge this year, is to do everything we can to make sure that when a child does come to school infected with COVID, that we mitigate that spread to other students.
All members of staff required to have the inoculations?
They are required to have the vaccine or test every week.
Okay. The test every week part, though, there's certainly a window of opportunity there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing is perfect. But
you can't mandate. I mean, I know there's some jurisdictions. Was it L.A.? Was it L.A. City?
The state's mandated.
Here's
the reason that I don't think that it'll ever be mandated 100% without the testing is because some people have some very valid reasons for not getting the vaccine. And so with those valid reasons, I actually 100% support them not having the vaccine. But at least we need to do that mitigation of testing and watching the symptoms to make sure that they're safe inside the classrooms. Because you kind of hit the nail on the head when you talk about the staff members. They're the folks that are the load carriers of the virus. The children generally aren't as susceptible to the virus as the adults, and they
haven't been until this.
Yeah, that's still true.
It's a different. What I was told half an hour ago is that this is different. I mean, it's mutated enough that it's related, but it's like a far distant cousin.
So here's what we're being told by CDPH, and so that's all I can go by. This isn't California Department of Public Health. See, if you were here on time, you would have heard me say that 25 times. You wouldn't need it to find all that kind of stuff. So making fun of me as saying debris.
No.
Make fun of you as saying CDPH.
No. See, I represent the people who tune in midway through the show.
Oh, okay. So, yes. So you've got a half truth now.
Yeah. All right.
So, anyways, what CDPH is saying to us is that social distancing is not as important for the students as it is for the adults. And like, for instance, we just did our adult learning, and we're in the middle of it right now. Our teachers are back on campus. Our classified staff is back on campus. They want us to do everything we can to keep 6 feet of social distancing between the adults. So all of our in-services are set up so they're 6 feet. And so we asked the question, if you're saying you want 6 feet for adults, why aren't you saying the same thing for children? And the response that's coming out of Humboldt County Public Health, who is echoing what CDPH is saying, is that the spread is not as prevalent, even with the Delta virus, amongst the children as it is amongst the adults. And so that's why they're saying that they want adults.
I would ask you the other question. So if you're allowing a 6-inch separation on airplanes, why is it different in any other application?
Well, that's just plain knowledge.
Yeah, I understand, but the lack of consistency.
Absolutely.
That's just, you know, and if it's economic realities, then it's economic realities. Okay, fine. So you put a big asterisk on it and say, okay, if you will be flying, da-da-da-da-da, here's the scenarios that you may run into. Okay, then you're off to the races. Mm-hmm. So you have some measures that are in place that are a little bit different than 2 years ago. Okay, that all makes sense. Is there identified canaries for you? You go, okay, guys, we're going to have to change if this happens or that happens. Automatic, boom, you know, not a school board meeting in a week and a half. It's no special meetings. No, it just, it's a black and white. If this happens, bang.
Well, again, we defer to CDPH because they're the experts in that. And if we said that there was anything black and white like that, we would just be exercising our own judgment call. And so,
which are right. informed, hopefully, right. decisions. I mean, well, you do it all the time.
Informed upon what is what I'd ask the question. And so our decisions right now and what we're defining as informed for us is the California Department of Public Health because we have no other place to look.
So whatever Sacramento comes out with.
I would say California Department of Public Health, not necessarily.
Well, that's
Sacramento.
Why I figured that they were headed in Sacramento. Yeah, are they headquartered in Sacramento?
I assume they are. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
That's
that
what
for
I did
certain.
Too.
But you know.
But then you got me on that. So perhaps we're both in that same boat going down.
Yes. Yes. All very right. well.
Somebody could. Unplugged the tub, and we're going down. So we'll take a break, replug it, and we'll be back.
As long as the baby's not going out with that plug.
It's 8:45.
Hey, folks! Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:05. We're back to Talk Shop this with Fred Van Fleck, Superintendent of Schools in Eureka. Next Monday?
Next Monday,
doing
the 23rd.
You guys are doing a little in-service this week?
We are. We had our whole staff together yesterday and talked about some of the challenges we'll be facing this year. Our staff is just excited,
itchy.
Motivated. Ready to see children again. That's what we got in the business for. We love being around children. And it's just been not only difficult for the students to be out of school for the last 18 months, it's been difficult for our staff because our staff like to fill their cup every day with working with children.
God bless them. At this point, Fred, because everything is on site, have you bought those computers in anticipation of going off site or storing them in case, or are you just going, you know, we're not there yet and we'll just be part of the thundering herd when that determination occurs?
We are a one-to-one district. We have a computer, mostly Chromebooks, for every student in the district. Students fourth grade and above will have them pretty much from day one in their possession. The younger students will have them in the classroom, and they'll use them when they come inside the classrooms. If we have to quarantine a student or a class, they'll be there ready to go right away.
So, but they'll be at the house? If they're quarantined?
Fourth grade and above. The students will have them in their possession, so they can take them to and from school, so they can take them to their house.
Yeah.
Third grade and below, they will have, some teachers will have them have computers in their possession right away, but they'll be there if a student goes on quarantine, we send a computer home with them to have at their house. And also work on connectivity issues because we have some families that can't connect, so we have hotspot options and different options to get those families connected. We're going to have hotspots on our buses. Right now is just an unprecedented time as far as the budget goes to supply those extra add-on things that we need to have for the students out there.
That's another word, Winston. Unprecedented. I think we're precedented now. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Well, thanks. It was nice doing half a show with
happy.
You. Makes it much
okay.
nicer.
So I'll say happy school to you get every other word. See you tomorrow.